Those earnings reports continue.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the broader economy as we start off the trading day. We ask the question, where's Wall Street? Mixed right now, pretty much flat. The S&P and Dow both down just a tad. If you know what a tad is, it's slightly. NASDAQ is up about a tenth of a percent, couple of points this morning. European stocks mostly lower, under a percent. Asian markets were mixed today. Doug Forman is Director of Equities at Highmark Capital. He joins us live from San Francisco this morning. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Steve.
So Morgan Stanley reported in this morning a tough second quarter with a loss of more than $1.2 billion. It says repayment of bailout money was partly to blame. We heard from Wells Fargo this morning as well. Earnings there increased by half, but they say losses from failed loans keep going up. Now, I thought things were going so much better for the banks.
Well, the banks still have a ways to go in terms of credit recovery. We've still got asset problems out there and higher unemployment than we would otherwise like. So I think we're still in an environment where, loans are going bad and likely to continue to go bad for a while. But I would point out that even things like credit card debt, 30-day delinquencies, which are sort of a harbinger of future problems, have been ticking down for about five straight months in a row. So hopefully the rate of this problem will moderate here very quickly in the next 6 months.
We're also set to hear just a few minutes from now Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke speaking, his second day of testimony before Congress. Doug, what's the fallout from his testimony so far, and what are we likely to see today?
Well, I think the biggest fear that most investors have is that the Fed has obviously been priming the pump here pretty significantly, trying to get this economy back on track, and they've broken out the printing presses in a big way. And so investors are justifiably concerned about the potential for future inflation. So they're spending a lot of time, you know, examining and talking to the Fed about their exit strategy for how they're going to take this stimulus off once we see some improvement, some real improvement in the overall economy.
All right. Doug Forman joining us from San Francisco this morning. Doug, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
We do appreciate it. Appliance maker Whirlpool is trying to put its outlook in the spin cycle. While second quarter demand dropped and profits fell by a third, the company says it is lifting its full year outlook. This evening, President Obama will likely talk a lot about health care when he has a primetime news conference. Some in Congress don't want to rush through the health care process. Bradley Herring is a health economist at Johns Hopkins University. He joins us this morning from Baltimore. Good morning, Bradley.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Seems like Mr. Obama's been running to stand still on health care reform up to now. What are we likely to hear from the president tonight?
I think the main thing he'll try and convey is that everything's still okay. Everything's moving forward, and we're coming together to some consensus. I think he's got two concerns. One is that moderate Democrats, particularly in the House, aren't really supportive of what's come out of the House so far. But then he's also got the process in the Senate going a little bit slower than he imagined. The Senate Finance Committee is having a bit of a difficult time coming up with the exact mechanism to finance the health care plan proposal.
We keep hearing the term individual mandate, Bradley, and the plans before Congress would require people to carry health insurance. I can imagine that a lot of politicians in Congress don't like that have-to factor. I mean, you know, where does that sit with them? And what are some of the pros and cons of individual mandates?
Sure. Well, the pro is really that it's probably the only way you're going to achieve universal coverage. Without an individual mandate, you're going to likely have older, sicker people tend to purchase health insurance coverage, something called adverse selection, with the younger, healthier people foregoing coverage, and that's going to drive up premiums. And so the really only way you can get everybody covered is to have this individual mandate with some teeth to incentivize people to purchase.
Doesn't that turn off politicians, though, the whole have-to factor?
Yeah, that's probably got lots of politicians a little bit concerned. But it seems like there's some consensus that's going to be a part of the package. It's certainly part of the package that everyone's kind of coalescing around.
All right. Bradley Herring, health economist at Johns Hopkins University, joining us from Baltimore. Bradley, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Chrysler said today it'll match the $4,500 government incentive for people to trade in their old gas guzzlers for new cars under the Cash for Clunkers program. That incentive starts Thursday and runs through August.
American Public Media presents After the Bell, a weekly podcast that makes sense of the week in business and the economy, available at marketplace.org.
Much of Asia was in the dark for a few minutes today thanks to a solar eclipse. In India, some people experienced the sun totally blocked out. It's a business culture that pays particular attention to celestial happenings, as Raymond Thibodeau reports from New Delhi.
Hindu mythology explains the eclipse like this. Two mischievous demons swallow the sun, blotting out the light and causing all kinds of mayhem. Eclipses aren't seen as good news in India, where CEOs commonly consult the cosmos before making important business decisions.
Basically, when the solar eclipse happens, there is a very low level of energy in the universe.
Saurabh Vatsa is a chief executive at Ozone Networks, which connects Wi-Fi systems across India. How's that energy linked to the daily grind of business?
Some people don't understand the significance, but to tell you the truth, this is how it works. At the end of the day, business is all about vibrations and it's all about proliferation. Proliferation requires energy.
Vatsa plans to counteract all that low-level energy caused by the eclipse by chanting mantras. He says that should ratchet up the universe's energy level by a notch or two. One business that thrives on the eclipse is astrology. Naveen Khanna is one of India's top astrologers. His predictions appear daily in India's Mail Today newspaper. His advice?
Business decisions should be postponed. Important signing of documents, important contracts should not be made today, because if the foundation is not right, the whole building will tremble in the future. It's better to be safe than sorry.
And millions of Hindus seem to agree. Temples are reporting a sharp rise in traffic as devotees stop by to offer prayers. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
Tell us your best solar eclipse story. I hope you didn't look straight at the sun. Our website is marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.